Hello and welcome to everyone gathered here, also to everyone watching and listening online today. Before I begin my sermon, I have an announcement to make, and this announcement builds on an email that I hope many of you read late last week. If you didn't read that email last week, don't worry, what I'm about to say will fill in the gaps. I'll start with the bottom line. Last week, I signed on to be the new lead minister at the Greenville Oaks Church of Christ in Allen, about 30 minutes north of here. I'll start my new work there later this spring, which means that my final Sunday here will be on March 6th, just about a month away. When the elders and I announced last June that I would be transitioning out of my role here as the preaching minister, I was grateful for the long runway they so graciously provided, because honestly, I wasn't exactly sure of what I would be doing next, but the possibility of preaching for another church was not number one on my list. I've long had in my head, and I have told many of my friends this, that as I approach 50, and I turned 49 last month, I always thought I would step away from preaching and do something else. And this, of course, was my own personal timeline and agenda. And as I said a couple of Sundays ago in a sermon, when Jesus calls us to follow him and to sign on with him, he's not promising to make all of our personal dreams come true. Instead, what he's doing is inviting us to join him in making God's big dream for the world come true. And this often means submitting our personal agendas to the bigger and better thing that God wants to do in and through us. And so over the past few months, it's become increasingly clear to me that despite what I thought 7 months ago or even 10 years ago when I first came here, my time as a preacher has not yet come to an end. And this has not been a clean, clear discernment process. I have moved along the continuum from resistant to hesitant to open to encouraged to hopeful and now genuinely enthused about the opportunity to keep preaching. My discernment process has been messy. My close friends know this. At times it's felt like I was riding a roller coaster while blindfolded. But today I can say with clarity and confidence, I am a preacher. And thank you. I am a preacher. And I'm supposed to keep preaching. And I can also say with a clear and contented heart that I have said everything I have to say, and I have shared everything I have to share with Preston Road. You know, I ran out of jokes several years ago, and I've told you my best. I've told you my best stories already. It's time for me to move on and sow the seed of the Word of God in another field. And it is time for you to hear a new voice. And whose voice that will be or where he will come from is yet to be revealed. But I do know this. God will bring you the right preacher for where you are as a congregation right now. And I also know that God is going to bless some preacher out there with a great church to preach and minister to in you. I said last June that it was not the time for hugging. Today is not the time for hugging either. But on March 6th, I am allocating 10 hugs for that occasion. So now please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teachings said, "Listen." No, really, really, listen. Listen. A farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed, though, fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let them here." How do you evaluate a communicator? How do you evaluate a preacher or a speaker? I've spent a good deal of my career thinking about these questions, not only evaluating other communicators and helping them get better, but also how I would evaluate myself and how you might evaluate me. And one of the ways we can evaluate speakers is we could do exit interviews, so that we would ask the audience that just heard a message a couple of questions. One of those questions would be, what was that message about? What was the point of that message? Can you summarize it in one sentence, the point, the big idea, what it was about? And then the second question then is, okay, how is that message that you just heard, one that you think you understood, how is that going to change the way you think or feel or actually behave? What difference is the point of that message going to make in your life? I used to ask those questions about my own sermons all the time, but the answers were often so depressing, I stopped and found something else to talk about with Caleb and Elijah over Sunday lunches. They're not here. I can throw them under the bus. Wouldn't it have been interesting, though, to do some exit interviews with those crowds who heard Jesus teach? To ask them those questions? Because we tend to think of Jesus as this great teacher, this master communicator. But the truth is, most people who heard Jesus teach misunderstood his message. Some didn't understand it at all. They were completely puzzled. Those who did understand it with clarity, they were often so offended by him, they wanted to kill him. Even his disciples, his closest friends, they were often puzzled by what they heard Jesus say. And if you dig deeper into Jesus' teaching method, you'll quickly discover that for Jesus, clarity was not always the goal. At least not initially. He didn't always want his messages boiled down into one quick takeaway, one main point. No, he was a much better teacher, much more strategic than that. Later on in Mark 4 and verse 34, Mark tells us that Jesus' favorite teaching technique was to embed the message of the kingdom of God, his big idea, to embed it in parables like the one about the sower we just read. And because his message was embedded in these stories, his message was not always entirely clear to his audience. And this appears to be with intention. He did it on purpose, as he explains to his disciples in verses 11 and 12 when they ask, "Hey, what's up with all the parables? We're not getting it. Why so many stories?" And this is what he says, verse 11. He said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, speaking to the disciples. But to those on the outside, imagine the crowds, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. This is a quote from the prophet Isaiah. And ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. No, it's not that Jesus didn't want all people to turn and be forgiven. It's just Jesus understood the dynamics at play in the crowd. Why did Jesus speak in parables all the time? Because Jesus said, I don't want everyone to understand what I'm saying. And he wraps his message in these parables that intentionally obscure his message from some who were listening, or at least who were in the audience. The outsiders, the crowd, those with hard hearts. But at the same time, he expected that his message would be clear to the insiders, his disciples, those whose hearts were open or at least opening to his message. Ancient rabbis would often tell stories that had a hidden meaning buried deep within, and the only way to excavate it was to go to that teacher and have a deeper conversation with the teacher. And this seems to be in line with how Jesus used his parables to sort out who's really listening, who's really seeking, who's really interested in learning the secrets of the kingdom of God. Because some people hear a parable and they say, well, that's an interesting story. What a clever teacher. I like his style. What's for lunch? But there are others who hear the parable and say, I can't stand it. What does that mean? What is the point? What is he trying to say? It's driving me crazy. Let's go talk to the teacher and find out more. Which is exactly what his disciples do in Mark 4 when they don't understand the parable of the sower. Every parable Jesus told was an invitation to have a conversation with Jesus. Or maybe an invitation to have a conversation with others who heard Jesus tell that parable. Every parable is an invitation to conversation. And if you're too arrogant to admit that you didn't understand the story, or if you're too insecure to ask a question, or if you're too prideful to admit that you need some help, or if you're too busy to sit down and have a conversation with the teacher, then you do not have the ears to hear. And you do not have the open heart necessary to receive the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus did not, he didn't teach for clarity. He taught for transformation. By teaching in a way that invited his audience to participate in the learning process. There were so many more easy and efficient ways for Jesus to transmit information to his disciples. He could have taken his message and turned it into a curriculum and created separate lessons with bullet points. Here are the 10 principles. Lesson 1, 10 principles of the kingdom of God. Lesson 2, here are the 4 spiritual laws. Lesson 3, here are the 5 steps of salvation. Lesson 4, here are the 6 ways to pray. And then he could have quizzed his disciples, and after they successfully regurgitated the information to him, he could give them a certificate of completion and send them on their way. But Jesus did not teach to transfer information. He taught to invite us into a transforming relationship with himself. And he did this by always leaving a little mystery in his message. Because it's those who are obsessed with solving the mystery, who have to know more that dig deeper and grow faster than those who think they already understand everything worth knowing. It's the curious, the humble, the tenacious, the persistent, the seekers who come to understand the truth about the kingdom of God. The secrets of the kingdom do not belong to those who think they already know everything, but they are revealed to those who seek out the teacher, who keep knocking on his door, even in the middle of the night, who keep peppering him with questions until they finally begin to understand what he's talking about, and then they take that understanding and apply it so that it changes the way they live. That's the genius of Jesus' teaching. It's not about just transferring information. He's transforming hearts by always inviting us into a deeper conversation. As I reflect on my almost 10 years of preaching to you, I think a bit about how I would like for you to remember me, if you remember me at all. And I hope that when you remember me, you don't remember me as the preacher who always gave you easy, ironclad, airtight, button-downed answers. Rather, I hope you remember me as a preacher who kept asking the kind of questions that invited you to go deeper into the Scriptures so that you could wrestle with God's Word and God's will for your lives. One of the most important pieces of feedback I ever received from any of you was, you know, after that sermon, I had to go home and read my Bible. I was like, that's awesome. That's a win. You know, after that sermon, we talked about it over lunch. Couldn't stop talking about it. Not sure we agreed with you, but boy, did we have a great conversation. That was always a win for me. I guess which is to say, I hope that in some small way, I've imperfectly and inadequately attempted to imitate Jesus' teaching style. And that hopefully God has used at least some of my words to help all of us become more like Christ, not because we downloaded the correct information, but because we entered into this transforming relationship with each other. Jesus did not tell parables to transfer information. He told parables to bring about transformation. Because the way parables work is they keep prompting us to ask deeper and deeper questions. Come back to the first two questions I asked at the beginning of this. What's the point and what difference is that point going to make? Well, every parable is open to those questions. What is that story about? What's that mean? And what difference is that story going to make in my life as I begin to understand its meaning? We see the way this works in the parable of the sower. The disciples don't understand it. They do what they're supposed to do. They go to Jesus and ask for an explanation. He gives it to them. And it turns out that story is about the different ways people respond to the gospel, to the message of the kingdom. The different soil types, the hard, the shallow, the rocky, the good. Those are different responses that we all have to the gospel, not just once in our lives, but maybe throughout the course of our lives. We can all at times have a hard heart to some of Jesus' teachings. We can all at times have the weeds of our cares and concerns of life choke out an element of Jesus' teachings. We know what it means to respond differently to the gospel within ourselves. And if that's really what that story's about, then it prompts even deeper questions. Not just what kind of soil am I, what kind of soil are we, but also, how am I listening? What am I hearing? What am I doing with what I hear? What difference is the gospel making in my life? Is there any tangible, visible, observable fruit growing in my life because of the gospel? And you know that these questions are not always easy to answer. And they're not supposed to be. The goal is not to answer these before lunch. The goal is to let these kind of questions draw us into the heart of Jesus' teachings. The goal is to keep digging, to keep wrestling, to keep seeking, to keep asking, to keep listening, to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep repenting, to keep changing, so that the power of the gospel transforms us. The goal is not to learn new stuff. The goal is to open our hearts so that the stuff of the gospel changes us from the inside out. May that be what we keep doing. May we all keep digging. And may the seed of the kingdom of God take root in our hearts and produce abundant fruit.